How rich we are in His grace and mercy to have that word that's been given to us, that we know as children of the King that that life of Christ dwells in us, and that all-powerful life. And how God has given us everything for that life to fully grow up. And know this for your lives. The Bible tells us that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And once you can't even comprehend that, but you can believe that. See, that's the thing. It's so beautiful. But the Bible says that we have been blessed. Not that we are going to be blessed, but we have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And in that, what is all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? They're all in Jesus. And that's every child of God. You have that life. You have that wonderful, all-powerful life that lives in you. But it needs that wonderful encouragement of the one who brings us all truth and the one who brings us all love to grow that up. And that's the Holy Ghost. Again, that's thank the Lord that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed of what the world thinks of this. See, to the world, this is all foolishness. Do you understand that? This is just foolish time. But this is what is. This is what is forever. This is the only thing that is really real. And obviously, it's eternal. And as you walk in that spirit, you know that. And I appreciated Brother Paul Golden, how he'd say it's your knower. Your knower just knows. It's the knower. Well, I just know. I'm glad that I know. I know that I know. And the reason I know is because of the Word of God. Because of the promises of God that are yea and amen, that it's impossible for Him to lie, that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, that I can never be separated from His love, that the throne of grace is just one Jesus' name away. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't matter where I'm at, what I've been doing. You know, thanks be to God for Jonah in the belly of that fish. He's just one Jesus' name away. Lord, help me. And praise God, He's there to do it. And when you begin to really understand and appreciate that love wherewith you are loved, that's when you'll want to yield to God. It's a joy and a thankfulness to yield to God. Praise His name. So, that is really everything about our lesson anyways. But as we began with that word couple, the sea was to be close. We understand that we cannot be close without, again, being equally yoked together with believers. We understand the closeness is also with our gathering in believers. As we're gathered now as believers, we're gathering in Jesus' name. And in gathering in Jesus' name, we have that fellowship in the gospel of Christ. And we can have that fellowship everywhere we go. We can have that fellowship at a football game, in a bowling alley, at a lunch, all of those different things. And we can talk about lots of different stuff. But it's still the presence and the gospel of Christ that still governs it all. You know? That if conversations ever start to drift or things of that nature, it just brings us right back to that precious knowing that our life is all about Christ. Then we went over to openness, that O in the couple, and we saw how wonderful it is and the need to be open before our Lord. Because He knows us, doesn't He? There's nothing hidden to God. And in that, in those relationships with one another, I pray that we can be open with one another and to be appreciative of who we are in Christ and who the other is in Christ. Amen? Thankful to God for all of His precious vessels. And how beautiful the testimony of the Lord is that we are never, in a sense, the same in how the light is reflected through the vessel. At our church, it's so beautiful. We have all of those beautiful stained glass. And I love to go out even before the message starts and stand in the back of the sanctuary and look up there. And every pane is different. And as the sun begins to move, and the brothers know this that work back there in the sound room and everything, they get that special view oftentimes as they see, as that sun begins to move, those panes even begin to change within the pane. It's incredible. how much the more are the multifaceted lives of every life that's here. And thank God for it. Praise the Lord for it, that we're out of every kindred and tongue and nation. And that we know it's the working of our Lord, who is not a respecter of person in any way, shape, or form, that we truly are one in Christ. So this morning we come to the you in under a couple, and that's going to be for understanding. And obviously recognizing the needs of your partner, your friend, your brother, your sister. And see, that was really interesting to me. I'm the baby of the family. I didn't realize how different my older brothers and sisters, in a sense, their perspective of things are than the baby. And the years apart that we are and that type of thing. And, you know, you just kind of get set in your way and say, well, this is the way it is and this is the way it was. No, it's not necessarily true. Because you know what? I didn't walk in their shoes. Even as my own brothers and sisters. How much more so for you and me? And the need to understand and appreciate by the grace of God, you know, where we came from. It does mean things. It's very meaningful. Jesus wouldn't have told us that, you know, he called fishermen. It was meaningful to understand their background. That he called a tax collector. That he called harlots, prostitutes. Isn't that amazing? And all of these different ones. And then yet he also showed us too that there were ones like Timothy that were brought up in the Word of God that could be kept in the Word of God. That the Lord showed that you didn't have to go the way of the world and then come to know the Lord, but you could grow up under the hand of God and still have all of the challenges that you needed for your own life, but yet you did not need to go to the way of the world. Isn't that awesome? See, he shows that he's going to do it different every single time because he is our God. We're not going to be able to go back and kick back to experience or this is the way that I see it all happening every time. No, he's the Lord that's going to do it different every time. Why? Because it's always going to be by faith. It's going to be by the way that you did not expect, that you did not think, that you did not want. Huh? Because he's going to show you that I am your Lord, thy God. So, in that, recognizing the needs of our partner, we need to be tender to understand each other's needs. Because see, without tenderness, without a tender heart to understand in a relationship, that relationship's not going to go anywhere, and oftentimes that relationship's going to end. If we're not tender, if we're hard, it ain't going anywhere. When we're stiff-necked, God is not getting through to us. And I always think about the relationship between David and Jonathan. Again, they said that those two friends, that their love exceeded the love of a man and a woman. Again, the absolute divine agape love of God. And yet, you think about the challenges of their relationship. I always step back and think, oh my goodness, how amazing. Jonathan's father was King Saul. And King Saul was jealous of David. He loathed David. When you're jealous of someone, let me tell you something, it's crueler than the grave. It's a poison. It's a great poison. And you need to pray if you're a jealous person. Like we talked about tendencies and things like that. Some people have tendencies to be more jealous than others. And you know what? God specifically allowed that to be in your life to need him to come in, to keep you on your knees. Everybody's different. Bitter ones, or the self-righteous guy that just said, well, I don't have that problem. But you got a problem. And it just met you right in the face. Don't be like that Pharisee that struck his chest and say, oh, I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there. Because the publican was the one that went home to his house that day and was justified, whereas the Pharisee was still blind. All right? So again, Jonathan had that daddy, King Saul. And King Saul was a jealous man. And in that poison, you know how poisonous things are not just poisonous to your life. When you're going to go into that kind of a poison, you're going to poison everybody else's life. So I am confident in that home that Jonathan heard testimony of David that wasn't good. And that Jonathan, his dad, spoke against David and had a hatred of David and all of these different things. And to think of this, that the reason too that Saul was jealous of David is, don't you think that Saul also knew that the people were loving him, and the Bible tells us, more than they were loving their own king? That was a problem. And do you not think that his own son Jonathan knew that as well? But Jonathan, by the grace of God, did not enter into that jealousy. He did not enter into that hatred. He continued to see David's heart. Isn't that wonderful? And in seeing David's heart, and then David on the other side, he could have been paranoid with Jonathan, couldn't he have? He said, oh my goodness, here's this, he's the son of the dad that hates me, wants to kill me. How could I be friends with him? He's got to be a little snake too. You know, because them apples, they don't fall far from the tree. But he didn't judge that way, and he didn't see that way, did he? He saw with the heart of God and the love of God and what God had had for him. They understood one another. They understood the relation, the dynamics of their relationship. They understood the circumstances, the backgrounds. And yet they allowed the love of God not only to work through that, but in allowing the love of God to work through that, God actually gave them more, the much the more, more compassion, more understanding. And then in that love, praise God, that exceeded the love of a man and a woman. That was understanding and looking to the need of the other. The Bible tells us that we need to look to the need of the other person. And in that relationship, you can see so much of that dynamic. Don't want to get into it too much, but you can see it. It's very apparent. Again, we have not walked in the other person's shoes. We need to understand and step back and seek that understanding in the Lord, and that will cause great breakthroughs in our relationships. And I'm talking about ones and couples that have been married. Oftentimes, we've really not gone in with the heart of God to understand some of the situations that somebody may have faced in the past. And to be tender and to be compassionate and caring to understand that life and that heart. Now, going on. Oops. Wouldn't be bad to search what we searched last night. But we're going to go on. So, it's vital to be tender. Vital. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Finally. And I love how Peter says this. Finally. Be ye all of one mind. See, this is how it's going to work. We get of the mind of Christ. Amen? That's the mind. That's the only one mind we could ever have. Because your natural mind ain't mine and mine ain't yours. But there is one mind, and that's the Word of God, I pray, that's sitting on your lap. That's the one mind. Having compassion, and that's the only mind that can have compassion, is the Word of God in your life. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Having compassion, one of another, love as brethren. See, that's the greatest love that we can ever have. See, if I really want to have compassion and love one another, even with my spouse, even with my wife, the greatest love, the greatest compassion I can have for her as my spouse is even as my, in a sense, my brother or sister in the Lord. To understand that she is that precious body of Christ. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. See, that really hits home, doesn't it? Because oftentimes the ones that are the closest to us, we are not pitiful and we're not courteous. We're far more courteous to strangers often. Isn't that interesting? Not rendering evil for evil. Well, I'm going to pay them back. I was treated wrong, so now it's my turn. Or you can flip that too. Well, you know, they got something. Now I need to get something. Voice that competition. God help us. Huh? Or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So our life, praise God, I pray, is just a blessing. Amen. And this encouragement to be tender and love one another. I've heard people say, well, I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive. You know, you'll never find the word sensitive in the Bible. You'll never find it. I'm going to give you a testimony real quick. Mentioned Andrew quite a few times this week already. I did his service out in California. That place was packed. And I'm telling you, every life there was sensitive. They were sensitive. There was a lot of feeling. But I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of emotion. It was absolutely overwhelming. But that sensitivity, that feeling, that emotion, it's all gone now. It was just a moment in time and it was gone. But see, tenderness, tender-hearted, is very different because it's from the Lord and it's forever. And the tender-heartedness of the Lord is a compassion with passion. It seeks to understand a heart because it seeks godly consolation. It seeks godly gain. But tenderness is only the beginning. And this is what tenderness spawns. It causes us, because this is imperative to be an understanding, caring, tender person, we must be good listeners. We must want to listen and continue to be a better listener. And see, I can't force myself, and you can't force yourself to be a good listener. Right now, you're probably very tired. It's hard to listen. Say to yourself in Jesus' name, Lord, help me to listen. Amen? He's the one that gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. He gives you that wonderful understanding. See, only God can do it. But see, God does it the same way. You know how he shows us that he's tender to us? You know how he shows us that he understands us? It says that he listens to us. He hears our voice. God hears your voice. He hears you. I mentioned that the other day. I was watching, you know, I told you, you always have to watch Shark Week. It's very important. You just can't miss that. I do love it. But they had all these seals. 80,000 seals piled on this gigantic little rock island. And those seals are peeling off there in the sharks and zipping back. And, you know, they have to go get food. And they're the funniest little things. You know, it's like a game. And then, you know, Charlie got hit. Whoop, what happened to him? You know. But this mama, they were filming her. And, you know, they'd had all these little baby pups. And she went out to get food. And she'd been out there like almost a day or two, dodging sharks, getting lost, and all of these different things. And that little baby, that pup that was back there, was beginning to be dehydrated, needed mama's milk, had to get back. And that baby was just crying and crying, you know, for basically almost 48 hours, just calling out, calling out, calling out. And that whole island sounded just like a roar of calling out, calling out, calling out, all over the place. You know, you couldn't differentiate one from a, you know, it's just all over the place. And that rock, you know, probably all of the area of it, you know, was probably, you know, 1.5, 2 miles of blubber just all over the place, hollering out. And that baby, over the passage of time, those 48 hours, was moving all the way across there and moved at least 1/2 mile from where it was. And you know, seals, they move at a snail's pace. They don't move very fast on ground. So here came mama, and you thought, oh man, it's all lost. There's no way they're going to find each other. That mom seal, over all of that roar, immediately heard that baby. And it wasn't even... And I'm telling you, over every other seal, that mom was going at it. Just on every one of them, big seal, little seal, all that, getting to that baby. And within 5 minutes, that mama seal went 1/4 mile, I kid you not, and was with that little baby seal, and everybody was happy. Now, if God can do that in nature, let me tell you something, God hears you. God knows you, And that same God and that same understanding and that same love and that same compassion by the grace of God lives in you. And I'm thankful to the Lord that, yes, we can be good listeners and we continue to be a better listener and we can trust God to continue to open that up in our lives and to pray for it and to be sincere and care and loving with the love of God when we listen. And that's exactly it. How do we become a good listener? How do we become this better listener? First of all, we need to care. You need to care about the other person and the other person's needs. True friends care about the other's interests. Absolutely. About their joy, about their sorrow. And you need to take time to listen. You know, I know people are pressed for time, and I've heard couples say, well, you know, we do this. We take 5 minutes to tell each other, 10 minutes, the end of our day, and, you know, we just go back and forth, and all that. I'm going, wow, that's rough. I thank God for whatever time you'll give it. But it's more than that. It's even more than that. It's more than being patient. It's even more than taking time. The one way we know that Jesus cares is we listen. And we listen in a lot of different ways, too. We don't just listen with our ears. We perceive. And not perceiving, trying to, again, with our minds, but with, again, the spiritual intent of the Lord to know when our partner's not right. Something's going on, and maybe our friend or our partner isn't expressing it, but praying to the Lord, Lord, help me to perceive and to hear what's going on in the need of that person. It's so fun to watch my wife with my children over the years, that mommy sense that God gives a mom. And I've always told my sons this. You can try this and you can try to sneak that and whatever, but God will always let your mom know. And Evan's here, Roderick, I can't see his face anymore. But it's the truth. And it's the truth, and it's the truth. And we can have that, you know, as they say in the comic books, that spidey sense. But it's that godly sense. It's that godly perception. Pray for it. Trust God for it. And that will help to you being utilized of the Lord to help meet the need of your friend or your even kids to... You know, your parents have trials often. And to be a blessing again to your parents, to be able to come to them and say, you know what, Dad, let me pray with you. Or Mom, let me pray for you. Those are precious, wonderful things. Grace flows everywhere. And I'm so grateful to God that He's encouraging us to have that kind of understanding and compassion for one another. See, understanding one another and understanding people is understanding and knowing that we are all flesh. We're all mankind. So right there you know that that means that all of us are weak, all of us are frail, and all of us are prone to fail. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes we begin to put each other up on a pedestal. And don't ever do that. The only one that's up on the throne is our God. That's who we worship. We thank the Lord for the testimony of the love of God and the successes of yielding to God and the saints. I praise God for that. But God also help us to have compassion. And as it says, great relationships have spiritual participants. To be spiritual. Ye that are spiritual, what do? They restore one another. They don't tear one another down. What does our society do that is not spiritual? They tear one another down, don't they? It's exactly what it is. They want to lift somebody up And then once they're up there, okay, now it's time to tear them down. It's the truth, isn't it? And it's played over and over and over in our flesh. That's why ye that are spiritual, restore one another. That is the greatest, I believe, encouragement, one of the greatest encouragements of truly being understanding is knowing that we are but men. We absolutely will and do fail. Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Of meekness. Oh, I get, I'm telling you, brothers in the Lord that are telling, oh yes, I'm restoring such a one. But they are not, because the only way you can restore is in the spirit of meekness. Not in the spirit of judgment and condemnation. Not in the spirit of, well, I'm just going to set you right and you're going to have to sit over on that corner until we know you're sorry and then you can come and sit with the rest of us. That is not meekness. Meekness is what? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'll give you an interpretation about that for every situation you'll ever face. But for the grace of God, that's you. But for the grace of God, that's you, 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 you. You are not, let me tell you something, apart or so high and mighty that you can't be doing anything. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. If you remember that, he was the great king. And he bucked up against God and thought how mighty he was. And God set him out in the field for many years as a beast eating grass. Huh? Don't think you're ever above somebody else that's been taken in a fault. Oh, I'd never do that. Peter said that, didn't he? And look what Peter did. In the presence of our Lord, in the time that he was to be crucified. And I know that there might even be a life out here saying, well, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, yes, you would. Oh, yes, you would. And matter of fact, your sin put him on that cross just as much as any other person's sin, because he had to die for all of it too. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Bear ye one another's burdens. So important. When we're really friends of one another and care for one another, it's not just sympathy, it's empathy. We carry one another's burdens. Now, that doesn't mean I get tied down, because where do we take the burden? We take it to the Lord, amen? I've seen friends and different ones take one another's burden, but then they're going to take it and form it and hold it and put it to sleep, and I don't know what they're going to do with it. You care for one another, you bear one another's burdens, but the burdens are always, how do I say that? Bared. Are where? Born? On the throne of grace. I'm glad I can butcher the King's English and yet still have understanding of the things that need to be understood. Praise God. So, this is some wonderful stuff. We need to have compassion and understand that we're but men. We need to understand, and with that understanding, what always results is we will be spiritual and we will edify one another. See, I want to bring in spiritual encouragement to your life. I want my mouth, by God's grace, to have an abundance of a heart that's giving it words, that its utterance is of the Spirit, that is encouraging you on to grow in the Lord, to overcome. Amen? Sowing seeds, praise God, of bounty, watering, hallelujah. Knowing always it's not Jesse, but it's God that gives the increase. Amen. Understanding, brothers and sisters, it's not trying to change someone yourself. You can never change someone. Know that. The old adage, and I've seen it come true too, people marry one another, well, I'm going to change them after they're married. No, you won't. No, you can't. It does not work that way. Only God can do the shaping and forming. And only God can do that even in your life too. Little piece of clay. I'd like somebody to get up here and testify and tell me about how they saw a piece of clay form itself. Can't. Just sits there, doesn't it? It needs the hands of the master to do all of the molding and the shaping. Praise God. So in that, we let God bring the change because he's the motivator and the convictor of what? Love, isn't he? Yeah, sure, we feel bad when we make mistakes and things of that nature, but God is not over us with a stick, is he? Because he can't be, because his arms are too busy hugging us and loving us and holding us dear and near and saying, oh, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. This isn't you. This isn't who we are. That's just a lie, honey. You're mine, and I am yours. I pray the Lord constrain me. There are many things we would like different about ourselves. There are many things we'd like different about our partners. But it must again be God that brings the change. Understanding is being long-suffering and forbearing. Long-suffering and forbearing is the testimony when we really love. When we're patient, we don't just walk away when we've said some good words and things of that nature and encouragement in the love of God. Oh, well, you're not taking it. I'm out of here. Lord doesn't do that with you, does he? And again, whose life lives in you? Enough said. Lord, just take care of it. But being spiritual is God's love and wisdom taking control. It's love that comes into our life not to judge, but it's love that comes into our life that has compassion and that knows that we are all frail. Do you know the Bible says that all men are liars? Yep. We're all liars. That's right. There is none that seek to do good, and that we need to be continually encouraged and loved with the love of God. So we don't try to change someone yourself. We let God do all the molding and making after his will. We let the love of God for you and for your friend convict you to be long-suffering and forbearing. Notice who's doing it all. God. Notice who's doing the work, the Lord. Know that it is always the word of his grace. So, what does this do? Oh, praise the Lord, what this does is it causes us to be tender in all situations. It causes us to be patient in successes and failures, all kinds of situations. It causes us to grow up in Christ. Amen. And in growing up in Christ, can you imagine? We become forgiving. And not forgiving as man, but forgiving as Christ forgave us. Amen. And it was so sweet how it was brought out last night. And all of our indiscretions and our sins were put in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. What's our first line of defense when we're hurt oftentimes? Well, remember when you get rid of that button. That's like your big button. It walks around and it says, push me. Set me off. Huh? I'm kind, I'm loving, oh, I'm so in the Spirit. But if you push that one, and it's the big one that I'm showing right at you, because the enemy loves me to push that one right out, watch what happens. Watch the transformation. God help us, amen. Forgiveness is God's love and wisdom in action in us. So wonderful. So precious, so wonderfully needed if our relationships are going to go on and strengthen. Okay. Another part of understanding is understanding your place in your relationship. And God is very clear about every relationship. See, it's just like understanding where God has placed us in the body. Amen? Do you know that? You have a special, specific place in the body of Christ. And as the Bible says, if you're the nose, don't desire to be the hand. If you're the toe, be happy you're a toe and be thankful for the eye. Amen? You know, you got to have all those five toes to really balance, right? God gave us perfect bodies. And let me tell you something, the body of Christ is perfect. Every one is right in its place. But God is very clear about every relationship. And just, the world has so horsed this up. Has really... And again, it's the prince and the power of this world. It's the enemy. Has come to confuse men and women, young people, to take their place. And in doing that, what's happened is we become very untrusting. They even did a study recently about why young people are not getting married and why people are so uneasy in their marriages. And if you really look at it, it's because people are out of place in their marriages and in their relationships, that there's no more trust. There's no more confidence in a man to take his place in a home to truly, as the Word of God says, to be the provider. So the woman says, well, if I don't have necessarily a provider, if I'm not going to do that, then why am I getting married? And then the man says, well, if the woman is basically taking the place of a man and I would really like somebody to be caring and loving and maybe to be somebody that would love to be with kids and things of that nature. If they're not taking that, why do I need a woman? Starts to get real horsed up real fast, doesn't it? And when we rely on an entity, meaning our government and different things like that, for our needs as opposed to our God, we're really in trouble. I could go on and on and on. And brothers and sisters, we must fight the good fight of faith for this. It's true. God wants you to have His best. And to have His best, every need is met in Him. Every need is already met at the throne of grace. So know these things. And God help us. See, the devil wants more than anything for us to settle with convenience. Just go along with our personalities, our natural strengths, situations. But see, God in His faithfulness is going to deal with it because God's Word is always going to be truth. And I truly have seen this, especially in these short years of pastoring with couples and different things of that nature, going certain ways of the world and saying, well, I'm going to take this place and you take that place just because it's more convenient. This is your strength and this is my strength. Let me tell you something, it doesn't work. At the end of the day, what happens is you begin to resent one another for those things. You don't trust one another to go into that. And you might even be sitting here and say, well, it's too late. We've gone too far down the road. It's never too late to trust God. I promise you. And God can heal and repair and fix. But it takes faith. And it goes right back to our first lesson. Faith in what? In God's love to you and God's absolute care of you. That we do not go by sight, we go by faith. And it doesn't matter how long we've laid those tracks. In a moment at the throne of grace, He said, I'll work everything together for your good. Everything, all things. That means even all my mistakes. Can you imagine that? He'll work even all of that together for my good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But getting at this, husbands and wives, mentioned that book called Love and Respect. It's wonderful how it brings those two things out. Some very sweet comments in that. But husbands are to love their wives. Amen. Husbands are supposed to provide for their home. It's true. Wives, reverence your husband. Now, are you to wait on the other to do it? Well, when he loves me, I'll respect him. When she respects me, I'll love her. And you can just see the ships going apart and apart and apart and apart. And finally, they don't even see each other anymore, do they? God didn't say for you to wait on the other, did he? He said, love now, reverence now. And you know, even in the Word of God, you submit one to another. Be lowly. Don't expect something in return. This is all done heartily unto who? Unto God. That return is already met. But then God, in all of, as I call them, the fringe benefits of our Lord, which are exceeding and never ending, he continues to make each other more loving and more beautiful and all of those different things. It's incredible. Parents and children. Parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Yeah, you correct them, but don't embarrass them. And I've been guilty of that before. I do not want to embarrass my children. There's something I need to talk to them about. If there's something that went awry, sometimes it's not the immediate moment to do it. You do it, but you can do it right under the hand of God, under the love of God, and make that correction. When you just act out, see all of these lessons get together? When I'm just quick to speak and quick to react and quick to slap or whatever it may be, that can get myself in trouble. Amen? And children, honor and obey your parents as unto God. As unto God. I mentioned that too. Us parents may not always be exactly right, but that wasn't the benchmark. It was as unto the Lord. Amen? And I tell you, I know most all of your parents here. And I thank the Lord. I know they love you because they love you in the love of God. And one of the wonderful testimonies of it is you're here. They loved you enough by the grace of God to help you to come, encourage you to come here. Thank you, Lord, for that love. Bosses and employees, you're a boss. They're not your slaves. Be just and fair. Encourage them. I was thankful the Lord allowed me to, in a sense, be a boss. And I had some of the ones that are in this meeting worked for the company that, yes, I owned. But you can ask them. We work together. We work together. I pray that there's never a task that you think is too low for you to do. I remember sometimes Tammy was busy doing something and I'll pick up the phone. Hello, this is blah, 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 blah. And then we'd laugh. Well, I want to speak to somebody who knows something. Well, you got the wrong guy. Huh? I went to closings many times and we were funding deals, millions of dollars, and I'd show up and like this sometimes. You get these people that didn't know who you're dealing with. Oh, let me talk to the owner. This thing's just awful. And the people come out that were closing the deal that knew who I was, they shook their head. Mr. Odorcio, do you want us to shut this thing down? I said, no, this is great entertainment. Who are you? Do you think you're something? You're nothing but for God. And the most beautiful thing that he can do is he can increase in your life. And you can get out of the way. Decrease. It's wonderful. Employees. You might have the jerk boss of the century. You might have Beelzebub's brother. But if you trust God that he put you there, you believe he put you there, then praise him and it's heartily unto God. I heard many a testimony throughout the years in this place, many employees that had that boss right there. And they continued to take the love of God and the grace of God and do it unto the Lord, even though that they were never appreciated, never respected, treated unfairly. But they did it as unto the Lord. And then God gave the benefits. Oftentimes a co-worker would see that and perceive that, oh my goodness, there is something crazy about you. And I want that. Because I hate this fella. And you're happy and I'm not. So there's something in you that I need. But even the bosses have been convicted. As much as they wanted to, again, take away the straw to build the brick. You read that story about how Pharaoh took away the straw to build the brick. Well, you almost couldn't do it. It made it harder. But they still did it heartily unto God. Neighbors, just love one another. Man, if I had some neighbors before, and my sleep is precious. But love one another. He's still working on me. Friends, loyal. They love at all times, amen? Not just in good times and all of that. You love, amen? But remember this with friends. Remember this. Equally yoked together with believers and gathered in His name. Don't you tell me you're being loyal to a friend and they're doing wrong and you're going out there to be wrong with them. You don't do that. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling you might be fooling yourself. But that's wrong. Nip it. Stop it. If you really love your friends, you'll stop them from doing wrong. And if you really love your friends, if they're going to continue to do wrong, you're gone. Get out of there. The house is on fire and they want to stay and get burned. You shouldn't have been there to begin with, but get out. Elders, so important. I want to touch on that real quick too. We need to appreciate and love our elders, especially young women. This is an age where we kind of despise the elderly. Matter of fact, even in our healthcare, I think about it, it's like, gosh, if we just didn't have those older ones, we could all afford something better. It's crazy, isn't it? But that's just the world. That's the spirit of wickedness. I'm not kidding you. That we think, well, they don't know anything. Shoot, my mom, she doesn't even know how to turn on an apple. I say apple, and she's wondering, you know, is it Red Delicious? Say apple to you young people, okay, what do you want me to program? You want YouTube? You want Facebook? Respect them elders. Love them. Treasure them. Mark them that have walked in truth and love. Because I'm telling you, there's not many left. There's just a few. Taking our place in our relationships, God will back you in His Word. And we live in the greatest time of faith, and everything is set against the Word of God, but God is for us. And if He be for us, who could be against us? And I'm telling you, as you trust God, you'll shine brighter than at any time in the history, because Jesus is coming soon. Now finally, this is understanding our liberties in relationships, and this is very important. 1 Corinthians 8:9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. So don't let your freedoms hurt your brother. Be wise and be loving. In this same chapter, basically it says if, you know, it was talking about some brethren that really couldn't eat meat. They didn't want to eat meat. Well, if my brother doesn't want to eat meat, and I sit down there and I'm just going to have me a big roast beef, not a sandwich. I'm just going to get out the big roast to say, well, you shouldn't have a problem eating meat. Watch me. Well, I just heard him. I say the same thing. You might have the liberty to drink a glass of wine. Oh, did he really say that? Yeah, you might. Praise God if you do. But then there's some people that don't like to drink that are convicted with that. Don't you go forcing your liberty upon your brother. Some people may be able to listen to certain kinds of music. I still believe it's evident that there are certain words and certain lyrics and certain things of music. Don't fool yourself. That doesn't edify you. But I'm okay with getting jiggy. My kids know that. I listen to a lot of different stuff. And I'm happy in the Lord. It's good. But I also know that sometimes that beat might offend my brother. And I don't want to offend my brother. And if you're a brother that's offended by the beat, don't go offending all your other brothers that might be listening to a beat and say, well, you shouldn't be listening to that. Where's that going? You just built the wall of China. Huh? Tender. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Huh? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I love the testimony of the love of God. But it works both ways, and we need to be tender ones. We need to understand that. So specifically, do not let your liberty in Christ stumble your brother. We must learn to let God have and show His way and wait on God to do it. Wait on God to do the changing. But I'm not going to say this. If you have the liberty to do something and somebody says something to you, don't have the response, well, don't tell me to do that. It's my business. That's not the love of God. How about saying, you know what, I'm sorry if it offended you, but this really, it doesn't affect my spirit except to thank the Lord that I have this liberty. Do you ever think of what kind of testimony that is? That might get somebody to step back and say, wow, wait a second. Maybe I should be happy for my brother or my sister in the Lord, that maybe I can't do that, but I'm thankful they can. Give you a little quick example, and I've told people of this a couple times. For years, I belonged to the same country club as my brother, John. We both played golf there and different things. He'd been there longer than I have. And I'd been there about 5, 6, 7 years. And you know, I just never in my spirit could ever feel comfortable out there. I just couldn't. I don't know why. I know God gave it to me. And I wanted to enjoy it. I didn't want to say, well, God, I can't have this because this is too much. It's ridiculous. If God's going to increase you, you increase Him, increase in what He gives you and thank Him. Amen? Huh? Did Joseph rise up to the second in command of all and actually was leading it all and say, oh, I can't have this. This is just too much for somebody who loves God. What a dumb nut that would be. How about saying, thank you, Jesus, I can praise you in this position, and what a testimony it is to everybody. It's still the same God. It doesn't matter what the working is and where He's got me working. Amen? Get rid of that dirty self-righteousness. Be thankful for your brother if the Lord give him a new car or give him a new thing. But I couldn't be in that, and I don't necessarily know really why, but it was just the Lord. I didn't have that liberty. My brother's still there today, going on with God, worshiping the Lord, growing in His grace, running to win Him. And you know what? He's still a member there today. Can you imagine that? And I'm thankful for that. I praise God for that. I'm thankful that my brother has that sweetness that he can enjoy in the Lord. I thank God when I see people drive up, as long as it doesn't have them in a new car or get a new house. But I also thank God too when the Lord taketh away. I love you. I want to love you with the perfect love of God. We need to love each other with the perfect love of God. I'm lighting up all over the place. But that's it. That's it. Okay. Let's wrap it up. Search me, O God. So, are we good listeners, or am I more interested in me than everybody else? Begin a conversation and, okay, I know this is brother so-and-so. I'm just going to set my watch 30 minutes and I'll just breathe. Okay, 30 minutes is up. Okay, I'm out. I don't want to approach the conversation that way either. But let's be like a Galilee. Amen. Are we aware of our partner's needs? Or was the first one already so much in control, we never got to the second one? Huh? Am I a good communicator? Remember how we were talking about communication yesterday? What am I communicating? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it jealousy? Is it get away from me? Is it just complaining? Or am I really loving? Am I patient? Am I kind? Do people come up to seek something of me, of the Lord? Do we take the time, or are we short with one another? Am I just so important, I don't have time for you? God help us, amen? Everyone, everyone, everyone. Am I taking the place in my home, in my relationships, that God desires and has already, again, put in place for me to take? Take it. In our friendships and all of these things. God has made us all leaders in the Lord. Amen. We're ministering saints. Take that place. Stand with stand, and having done all, to stand. Praise God. I know we're a little bit late. In Jesus' name, we're dismissing. Have a precious time of activities.